Again, we turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we take it up where we ended last time, verses 31 to 35. Remember, last time was the Lord's Supper. They had special fellowship in the Passover meal that turned into the Lord's Supper. Consider that with what Jesus is going to say right now. They've just had the Lord's Supper together. They've just had fellowship together. The betraying Judas was pointed out. But now something else will be pointed out that is quite striking. They were all concerned that they wouldn't be Judas the betrayer. Lord, is it I? But see what Jesus will say to them now. Hear now the word of the Lord, Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, this is a striking development, isn't it? We have learned recently, a lot of attention has been given by Jesus in this part of the gospel to the fact that Judas would betray Jesus. And at this moment, Judas is now on the way to betray Jesus. He already got the blood money, and now he's off after the Lord's Supper, and he's going to get the men to get them right where they know they can find him. But now we learn that Peter will deny Jesus. Peter, among the closest three, one of them that Jesus even sent to go get the Passover supplies and prepare the meal. One of the three who was with Jesus to have fellowship on the Mount of Transfiguration. We'll see one of the three he calls in the Garden of Gethsemane tonight to be a close companion to comfort him during his agony. This same Peter will deny him. He will deny Jesus in public. And so will the other disciples. Now, Jesus predicts both of these things. He predicts Judas will betray him, and he predicts Peter will deny him. But though these situations have many similarities, yet they are not the same. And that's always a very important wisdom thing to know what to look for. Just because there are similarities does not mean they are the same. There's a big difference between what Jesus is predicting of Judas and what he predicts of Peter. Jesus judges Judas in his prediction of betrayal. Jesus prepares Peter in his prediction of denial. Sincere Christians will yet deny Jesus. And yet, Jesus has planned for this and will restore them. I give that to you as the main idea of our text this morning. Sincere Christians will yet deny Jesus. And yet, Jesus has planned for this and will restore them. Judas betrayed Jesus for a profit and not a whole lot of money. Peter will deny Jesus, but only for a time, and he will not sell Jesus out. He did not reject Jesus completely like Judas did, and he will return to Jesus. Judas will not. So, beloved, when you sin, and hopefully you're not judging Peter or the disciples as I'm also tempted to do, but rather point the finger to yourself and say, I do the same thing. Woe is me. When you sin, and when you do the same sins that you keep saying you'll never do again, whether it's by commission or omission, and often isn't it omission? Remember a little while ago, at the end of the Gospel, Matthew 25, the sins that Jesus pointed out of those who won't go to heaven are those who didn't do things they should have done. When you and I regularly sin against Jesus and deny him as our Lord, deny we know him effectively in public by how we act. You need to trust Jesus and respond to him like Peter. Judas is now preparing the ambush. In John 13, verse 30, we know that Judas knows that this place, this garden, under the olive trees, is a place where Jesus and his disciples spent a lot of time. It's a peaceful place. It's a place of fellowship, safety, and comfort. And so Judas is about to bring the people, the Pharisees and the crowd, to come get Jesus here. That will be especially important to remember tonight. Judas is gone, but Peter is still here. Though he is weak, he is willing. Beloved, you are not Judas. Don't hang yourself. That's what Judas does in the end. You want to recognize and identify with Peter, and don't hang yourself. Yes, repent over your sins. Hate them. Grieve over them. Cry out to them to God. But with the apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, to endeavor after new obedience, not to run away and hang yourself. The message for you this morning, as we think about what's being said of Peter, we need to remember where this is going with mercy. Don't hang yourself. First, take heed to yourself that you do not fall in your own weak strength. That's the first main thing we consider today. Take heed to yourself that you do not fall in your own weak strength. Again, beloved, how often have you judged others and spoken boldly about yourself and then so soon fallen right afterwards? How often have you taken the Lord's Supper and gone right out and sinned the same sin you said you'd never do again? That is what happens here with Peter and the other apostles. Right after they had the Passover meal with him, they just had the Lord's Supper for forgiveness and fellowship, and then they immediately are going to deny him this night, Jesus says twice. They insist they will not fail Jesus, and then they fall the same night of fellowship. They will deny him, though they earnestly deny that they will. Look with me at verse 33. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And some of the other gospels make it clear. He's saying this very vehemently. I'll never, never deny you, Jesus. Maybe these guys might. Maybe I could see them doing it, but not me, Jesus. Then verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So they deny they're going to deny him, and they deny him vigorously. We see here sincerity. They really mean it. They're trying to say what good Christians they'll be. They're not being duplicitous, but it is a zeal without knowledge. They are relying on their self rather than their Savior. Just like before, Peter defies Jesus' prophecy. He says, no, Jesus, no, that's not going to happen to you. Here he says, no, Jesus, no, I'm not going to do that. It's amazing. He's most adamant about it. Verse 33 is actually maybe others, but never, never, I will never do it. Verse 35, I'll die first. Literally in the Greek, not, an emphasis by repetition. Not, I will not deny you. It's interesting that it ends here, isn't it? We don't see Jesus correcting Peter again. He tells him once, he tells him twice, and then he just lets it go. He's silent. Jesus doesn't further instruct because the student has become the teacher, as we say. He told him twice, and he recognizes Peter's not ready to hear the truth. But the truth will show itself soon enough. Again, he says, this night, verses 31 and 34, twice he says, this night you're going to do this. So he's just going to have to let him do it. And that's exactly what happened. In verse 31, what Jesus says, you will all flee. We see that's exactly what happens just a little while from now, this night, when Judas and the motley crew come to get Jesus. As soon as they come, Everybody runs. All of them run. Verse 56 of this chapter, Mark 26:56. They do all leave Jesus. They do all deny him. They do all abandon him. In verse 35, he says, Peter, you will deny me before the cock crows three times. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And in verse 56, verses 70 to 75, that's exactly what happens. But they were so sure of themselves for Jesus, and then they so quickly deny him and flee from him. William Hendrickson points out three things about Peter's sin and the disciples that I think is important for us to consider as we need to look at ourselves. First of all, Peter's sin was disbelief. He didn't believe Jesus. He didn't believe what Jesus, the prophet, said. He didn't believe. Didn't want to believe it about himself, but he didn't believe Jesus. He also had disdain. Disdain of others. Oh, it's very possible maybe these other guys could do it. Lastly, he had distension of self. That is a swelling of the head. He thought too much of himself. He didn't think it was possible that he could do this. And that's right when you're in most danger, when you deny the possibility, especially when Jesus is warning you you're about to do it. Matthew Henry says, Peter thought he would come off best, and he comes off worst. Not only, like the other disciples, does he deny Jesus, but he denies him three times and even calls curses and swears upon himself to do it. And he's one of Jesus' closest people. He's the one that Jesus says, on your confession, on you, I'm going to build my church. Of all people, his fall is worse. Matthew Henry goes on to say, those often fall soonest and foulest that are most confident of themselves. Let me read that again. Those often fall soonest and foulest that are most confident of themselves. It's not unusual for people who are very adamant in judging others and declaring how holy and how much they won't sacrifice Jesus. It's not uncommon for them to be the ones that fall the soonest and to do the worst things. Charles Spurgeon says this, he who thinks himself so much stronger than his brethren is the very man who will prove to be weaker than any of them. John Calvin says this, how stupid is the intoxication of human presumption. Nothing is more fading or transitory than inconsiderate zeal. Zeal without knowledge is something to be very, very wary of, but especially in ourselves. Let's be careful not to be saying, oh, maybe these other guys could be doing this, these other gals. Let's look at ourselves and examine ourselves. If Peter and the apostles can be like this, right after the Lord's Supper, and then the same night betray him, deny and abandon him, therefore you and I can be in the same danger. Beloved, beware. Beware of overconfidence and beware of conceit. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Peter was not examining himself. Didn't think he needed to be worried about anything. Thought, of all people, he's the one that will be faithful. And boom, the same night. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, a scripture talking about preparing for the Lord's Supper says this, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Including if you think you're standing on certain truths, like you're standing where no one else will, be careful that if you think you stand, take heed and be careful, or you very well may fall on that mountain you're making that doesn't need to be a mountain. You may fall right off of it. Take heed lest ye fall. Heed the scriptures of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is not your strength by which you'll do anything. It is God's grace. It is his good pleasure working in you. That's how you'll make it. Not by your own declarations against what God says. But also let's recognize God is working in you. God is working in us. William Hendrickson points out that this scripture also shows us a contrast between the weakness of men and the divine strength. And that's the glorious thing. We see how weak we are in here. And we'll learn again tonight. Jesus will say, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But we also see the divine strength in contrast. And this is our hope. Remember that you can only do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. Take heed to yourself that you do not fail in your own weak strength, but remember that you can only do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. You can do it in Him, but only in Him and not yourself. A good doctor will explain to you what your limitations are. He will explain what is happening to you so that you can prepare and you can endure what you are about to face. He'll tell you the truth about yourself. And so Jesus is preparing them for what is about to happen. So they understand, and they understand themselves, and they understand that they need to turn to Jesus as the remedy. Though they can't believe it now, later when it happens, it will help them to know that Jesus has predicted that this would happen according to providence. They're going to need to learn to trust only in Him for everything, and that's part of the lesson. But it is a merciful thing that Jesus is predicting to them that they will do this. So later they can know, oh, I hate that I did this, but this is within God's providence. Verses 31 and 34 were merciful predictions. Verse 34 especially, the cock will crow when you've denied me three times. Hendrickson says that would be like the ring of a bell of Peter's conscience. Jesus said this would happen. Oh, and it helps him come to his senses so he would repent and return to Jesus, and that's what he did. In this case, the prediction also was that they would return and be restored. Go to Galilee, I'm going to go to Galilee after the resurrection. And so we see in verse 31, he talks about that. Look at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But, verse 32, after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 31 is quoting Zechariah 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. This is a prophecy fulfilled, that the fact that soon the disciples would be scattered. But let me read the whole verse for you. The whole verse is this. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. It's God who's going to smite Jesus Christ. It has to be so that He can be the sacrificial substitute and save them. God is going to strike the shepherd, and He has to go alone to the cross. But He's going to gather His little sheep back. Jesus, the good shepherd in the resurrection, is going to gather the little sheep back. So Jesus, when He's quoting this, is showing them, this is from God. When you are sorry that you have denied me, I want you to know this was from God. And it isn't betrayal like Judas. It's your weak denial. I will come back. I will be raised from the dead. I will meet you in Galilee. And I expect you to be there with me, restored and to move on in the ministry. If God planned it, then they will need to forgive themselves and return to Jesus, who will return to them. Again, Jesus had to go this alone, as we'll see tonight. Verses 36 to 46, He had companions in the Garden of Gethsemane, but they really couldn't stay awake. He had to agonize alone. He's going to go alone to the cross, for salvation is in Christ alone. And so they'll remember this is why it had to happen, that they had to leave Him. Not that it isn't a sin, and they can be forgiven of it. He had to go alone to save them, so He would restore them to lasting fellowship. Jesus is here giving assurance by predicting their fall. He tells them it's going to happen and that it's been planned, that it's of God. He is not the author of sin, but He's governing it all to fulfill His plan. And after the resurrection, He will restore them. Again, verse 32, I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll come back for you. I'll go before you to be reunited with you in your hometowns where I first found you and where I first called you and began the ministry. Think about how amazing that is. I'm going to meet you in your hometowns where we all began, even though you deny me soon. Jesus was raised, and he did meet up with them in Galilee. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verses 7, 10, and 16. We'll see that's exactly what happens. They meet with him in Galilee. The angels say, go to find him in Galilee. John Calvin says this. This is a good summary of the text. Really, the focus needs to be 32 and the second part of 31, God's mercy in Christ. John Calvin says, God does not cease to recognize as his sheep those who are driven out and scattered in every direction for a time. Let me read that again. John Calvin. God does not cease to recognize as his sheep those who are driven out and scattered in every direction for a time. Beloved, have you not begun poorly? After so strong professions and affirmations of yourself and your faith for Christ, have you not begun with such strong commitments and actually so quickly found yourself denying him as well? All is not lost. Remember Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. End well with Jesus. Return in repentance and be restored. I want to share something very pastoral with you before we continue from the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5, section 5. That chapter is on providence. One of the things they deal with there is very, very helpful and pastoral. Why does God let us sin? For the same reason that he allowed Peter and the disciples to sin. Why does God let us sin? And are we not to just respond like Judas and hang ourselves? No. Let me read for you. On Providence, chapter 5 in the Confession of Faith, section 5. The most wise, righteous, and gracious God doth oftentimes leave for a season his own children to manifest temptations and the corruption of their own hearts, to chastise them for their former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin, and for sundry other just and holy ends. I encourage you to go back and meditate on that. Think about it. It's the same night that they had the Passover meal, the Lord's Supper. The same night. Why do you think that is? Jesus knew this was going to happen. He tells them they're going to deny him and abandon him very soon that same night. It was to sustain them, to restore them, to remember him and his body and his blood, because they were going to need to remember that after denying him. And denying him after that fellowship, but it calls them to have fellowship again, again and again, to reassure. The Lord's Supper happened right before this denial to reassure them, because they were soon to fall and need to be led to repentance and renewed fellowship. So, beloved, you need the Lord's Supper for the very reason that you will deny him in how you fall each week and every day, including before you even get home from the supper that night. You need to remember his body and remember his blood shed for the remission of your sins, and remember his resurrection till he come. How humbling, therefore, how powerful, therefore, for you, for them to remember Hebrews 13, verse 5. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Ministers and elders, but also every member of the church, we need to be like God with others who make big promises and then so quickly turn away and abandon. We need to know that people are going to make big promises and often not keep them. And we need to keep seeing them as God's sheep and keep shepherding them. We need to trust God's providence during difficulty and even desertion by our brethren, and always lead them into restoration and repentance, including when we need to say the truth to them. Jesus doesn't hide the fact. He says, you're going to deny me tonight. But he's the way of salvation. and he is ready to forgive. So you and I need to be ready to forgive ourselves. You need to be ready to forgive yourself. For as you sang in Psalm 86, verse 5, the Lord is ready to forgive. Let us remember how Peter responded to Jesus at the beginning of the gospel, as we know it in Luke chapter 5. Jesus did that amazing miracle with all the fish, and what does Peter say? Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Go away, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He was struck by Christ's holy, righteous power, and he knew, I don't belong in your presence. But what did Jesus do? Jesus kept coming after Peter, and Peter kept receiving Christ's reception of him. And you and I need to be comfortable to do the same. Speaking of this, and I think it's deliberately put together closely, I want to just give us a consideration of the contrast further between Judas and Peter. Recognize and identify with Peter. Judas was prophesied in Zechariah 11, verses 12 to 13, that he would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Peter was prophesied with the disciples in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, that God would strike them and they would be dispersed by denying Jesus, but that they would be restored. Jesus prophesies that Judas will betray him as a warning and a judgment upon Judas. Jesus prophesies that Peter and the disciples will deny him as a warning, but also as a way to restore them. The sin of Judas was planned. It was calculated sin to destroy Jesus. The sin of Peter was unplanned. It was reactionary to avoid Jesus' suffering. Judas had evil intent the entire way. Peter had a good intent, though he didn't live up to it. Judas hated Jesus. Peter loves Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus for profit. Peter denied Jesus for fear. Judas was a traitor. Peter was a deserter. Judas was insincere and deceitful. Peter was sincere but weak. Jesus called Judas a devil, and the devil entered into Judas. We know from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, that Jesus prayed for Peter to save him when the devil wanted to get him. Judas never wept for Jesus. He only wept for himself, and he lost himself. Peter wept for Jesus and thus returned to himself. Judas had a hardened heart. Peter had a broken heart. Judas regretted what he did. Peter repented over what he did. Jesus rejected Judas with a "Woe is you." Jesus restores Peter, saying, "I'm coming back for you." And remember in the Gospel of John at the very end, Jesus says to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you, Lord." And then he says, "Feed my sheep," three times. Clearly, this was not a guilt trip, but it was an affirmation of Peter's ministry before everyone, because he had denied his Lord three times publicly. So publicly, Peter is restored by Jesus three times. "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And so he did. Remember, as you sang in Psalm 51, David cries out after horrible sin, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, thy salvation. Renew a right spirit in me, that I will teach others in the faith." And so Peter does. Judas doesn't. Judas just hangs himself. Judas doesn't go around enjoying forgiveness. He doesn't go around teaching people to be saved and repent. Judas hangs himself in unrepentance. Peter hung on to Christ. And that's something I want to remind you of. Judas hung himself, but Peter hung on to Christ. Beloved, you are not going to serve Jesus perfectly. You are often going to serve Jesus dreadfully. You will be tempted to pridefully put it all on yourself, and then you are going to be tempted to hang yourself when you fail. You need to remember, Christ alone can save you. Christ alone can sustain you. And you need Him entirely for everything. Jesus will teach you through such times in new ways what you need to learn. Solus Christus. One of the five solas of the Reformation. Christ alone. Be saved by Him and serve Him. Don't deny your complete dependence upon Jesus Christ. And like Peter, when you fall, repent and return to Christ and be restored. Every time your pride leads you to fall. Remember, an honest man gets up every time he falls through Christ. If Peter can, then so can you, beloved. Jesus hung on the cross, so you don't have to be hung on the tree. Don't hang yourself. Repent like Peter and see that Jesus says, all things are of God. I'm the good shepherd. I will draw the little sheep back. This is the fulfilled prophecy. I have to go to the cross alone, so you don't hang yourself. Praise the Lord. Don't hang yourself. Return in mercy. Cry out over your sins like Peter. Repent and go back to Jesus. Be risen from the dead and serve Him anew in the joy of your salvation. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You hung on the cross, that You were raised from the dead, that You met Your people back in Galilee, and You completely forgave and restored them in a reunion of the family of God, even though they had denied You in Your greatest time of need. And O Lord, as we continue studying this part of the gospel, we grieve over all that You suffered for us, and yet we thank You for it. We know that You will need to cry out on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? You will be abandoned by us and the Father. But this is so that You can save us, that we will never be abandoned. And the truth is, You will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us be so humbled by that and thankful. And indeed, Lord, help us to be merciful to our brethren. Help us, Lord, not to force someone out as a possible Judas, but to wait and to lead and guide and be quick and desirous to restore and forgive and forbear as a Peter, as the disciples, as ourselves always need. Lord, protect us from our own pride and our own disdain for others, thinking we could never be like them. Help us not to disbelieve You, but to trust You when You warn us all the time to watch and pray, for we are willing, but our flesh is weak. Help us to pray that we would not enter into temptation. Help us to be careful, as we know from Galatians 6, about how we would correct someone that we do not fall ourselves into sin. Let us consider what Paul says, I want to be careful that I myself do not become a castaway. Lord, let it examine our own selves, find ourselves in the faith. Let us humbly depend upon You for everything, and not make bold predictions about ourselves, but recognize in every way, there but by the grace of God go I. Forgive us for our pride and our self-dependence and our self-confidence, for we do confess to You how often we make such grand professions and then we so quickly go out and betray You in our hearts. We thank You it is not as Judas, but we are so sorry that we deny You and Your authority. We deny You with how we sin against You and what we do and left undone. We acknowledge that so often we do not speak of You in the marketplace. We are afraid of the world and what it will do to us because of what it does to You. Lord, make us stronger in You to endure all things for You. Bless us as we worship You and rest in You this day. That You would help us to learn, that You would help us to grow, and that You would help us to serve You and Your church better as a witness to this world. Help us especially to remember the example of repentance. It is not just hatred of sin, and it is not going out and killing ourselves. It is turning back to You, who hung on the tree for us, that we can always stand up in Your mercy and in Your grace and be restored and refreshed and reunited because of the blood of Christ. And Lord, as we had the Lord's Supper last week, and yet we know we have sinned so many ways against You since that time, Similarly, we remember your body and blood, and we thank you. We thank you that it is finished, and we are secure in you. Thank you for this assurance of our salvation. Lord, let us go and sin no more. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen.